Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. This is a call that we get on every weekday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. This is a call where you can sharpen your mind, hone your intellect, stoke that fire of burning desire within you to propel you on to self-reliance, self-determination, success, riches, all of the wonderful things in life that we have the opportunity to take advantage of while we are here on this earth. And I am grateful and appreciative to have a small part in this call with each of you. And I want to thank you for picking up the phone and dialing in and being a part of this wonderful endeavor that we are all on of self-determination, self-development, self-awareness, raising the level of consciousness that exists within each of us so that we can be more powerful, more productive, and again, achieve those wonderful things that we are all out to achieve. Yesterday, we finished up the chapter on decision, and we learned through the powerful story of the birth of the United States of America some incredible principles that we that were applicable in the foundation of this country, and also that we can extract directly and put right into our lives. And one of those key principles was decision, the power of decision. And I was inspired to jump back to the previous chapter and finish out a piece that we did not cover up when we went through it. It's the chapter's organized planning. And we were talking about the foundation of America, and I was just reminded that there is a very moving description of the gift that we all have, most of us anyways. I think most of us on this call live here in the United States. Some may be outside the country. But anyway, I wanted to jump back here and go through the closing of this chapter on organized planning because it's very relevant, and it's something that we all need to be cognizant of, I do believe. So here we go. Where and how one may find opportunities to accumulate riches. And also, I'll preface this by saying this was written, obviously, in the 1930s. So some of these numbers where he talks about the economy and prices are a little bit off, but all of the principles are still extremely relevant. Now that we have analyzed the principles by which riches may be accumulated, we naturally ask, where may one find favorable opportunities to apply these principles? Very well. Let us take inventory and see what the United States of America offer the person seeking riches, great or small. To begin with, let us remember, all of us, that we live in a country where every law-abiding citizen enjoys freedom of thought and freedom of deed, unequaled anywhere in the world. Most of us have never taken inventory of the advantage of this freedom. We have never compared our unlimited freedom with the curtailed freedom in other countries. Here we have freedom of thought, freedom in the choice and enjoyment of education, freedom in religion, freedom in politics, freedom in the choice of a business, profession, or occupation, freedom to accumulate and own without molestation all the property we can accumulate, freedom to choose our place of residence, freedom in marriage, freedom through equal opportunity to all races, freedom to travel from one state to another, freedom in our choice of foods, and freedom to aim for any station in life for which we have prepared ourselves, even for the presidency of the United States. We have other forms of freedom, but this list will give a bird's eye view of the most important, which constitute opportunity of the highest order. This advantage of freedom is all the more conspicuous because the United States is the only country guaranteeing to every citizen, whether native-born or naturalized, so broad and varied a list of freedom. Next, let us recount some of the blessings which our widespread freedom has placed within our hands. Take the average American family, for example, meaning the family of average income, and sum up the benefits available to every member of the family in this land of opportunity and plenty. A. Food. Next to freedom of thought and deed comes food, clothing, and shelter, the three basic necessities of life. Because of our universal freedom, the average American family has available at its door the choicest selection of food to be found anywhere in the world and at prices within its financial range. A family of two living in the heart of Times Square District of New York City, far removed from the source of production of foods, took careful inventory of the cost of a simple breakfast with this astonishing result. Cost at the breakfast table: grapefruit juice from Florida, 2 cents. Rippled wheat breakfast food, Kansas Farm, 2 cents. Tea from China, 2 cents. Bananas from South America, 2.5 cents. Toasted bread from a Kansas farm, 1 cent. Fresh country eggs from Utah, 7 cents. Sugar from Cuba or Utah, a little bit less than a penny. Butter and cream from New England, 3 cents. Grand total, 20 cents. It is not very difficult to obtain food in a country where two people can have breakfast consisting of all they want or need for a dime apiece. Observe that this simple breakfast was gathered by some strange form of magic from China, South America, Utah, Kansas, and the New England states, and delivered on the breakfast table ready for consumption in the very heart of the most crowded city in America at a cost well within the means of the most humble laborer. The cost included all federal, state, and city taxes. Here is a fact the politicians did not mention when they were crying out to the voters to throw their opponents out of office because the people were being taxed to death. B. Shelter. This family lives in a comfortable apartment, heated by steam, lighted with electricity, with gas for cooking, all for $65 a month. In a smaller city or a more sparsely settled part of New York City, the same apartment could be had for as low as $20 a month. The toast they had for breakfast in the food estimate was toasted on an electric toaster, which cost but a few dollars. The apartment is cleaned with a vacuum sweeper that is run by electricity. Hot and cold water is available at all times in the kitchen and the bathroom. The food is kept cool in a refrigerator that is run by electricity. The wife curls her hair, washes her clothes, and irons them with easily operated electrical equipment on power obtained by sticking a plug in the wall. The husband shaves with an electric shaver, and they receive entertainment from all over the world 24 hours a day if they want it without cost by merely turning the dial of their radio. There are other conveniences in this apartment, but the foregoing list will give a fair idea of some of the concrete evidences of the freedom we of America enjoy. And this is neither political nor economic propaganda. C. Clothing. Anywhere in the United States, the woman of average clothing requirements can dress very comfortably and neatly for less than $200 a year, and the average man can dress for the same or less. Only the three basic necessities of food, clothing, and shelter have been mentioned. The average American citizen has other privileges and advantages available in return for modest effort, not exceeding 8 hours per day of labor. Among these is the privilege of automobile transportation, with which one can go and come at will at very small cost. The average American has security of property rights, not found in any other country in the world. He can place his surplus money in a bank with the assurance that his government will protect it and make good to him if the bank fails. If an American citizen wants to travel from one state to another, he needs no passport, no one's permission. He may go when he pleases and return at will. Moreover, he may travel by train, private automobile, bus, airplane, or ship as his pocketbook permits. In Germany, Russia, Italy, and most of the other European and Oriental countries, people cannot travel with so much freedom and at so little cost. The miracle that has provided these blessings. We often hear politicians proclaiming the freedom of America when they solicit votes, but seldom do they take the time or devote sufficient effort to analyze the source or nature of this freedom. Having no axe to grind, no grudge to express, no ulterior motives to be carried out, I have the privilege of going into a frank analysis of that mysterious, abstract, greatly misunderstood something which gives to every citizen of America more blessings, more opportunities to accumulate wealth, more freedom of every nature than may be found in any other country. I have the right to analyze the source and nature of this unseen power because I know and have known for more than a quarter of a century many of the men who organized that power and many who are now responsible for its maintenance. The name of this mysterious benefactor of mankind is capital. Capital consists not alone of money, but more particularly of highly organized, intelligent groups of men who plan ways and means of using money efficiently for the good of the public and profitably to themselves. These groups consist of scientists, educators, chemists, inventors, business analysts, publicity men, transportation experts, accountants, lawyers, doctors, and both men and women who have highly specialized knowledge in all fields of industry and business. They pioneer, experiment, and blaze trails in new fields of endeavor. They support colleges, hospitals, public schools, build good roads, publish newspapers, pay most of the cost of government, and take care of the multitudinous details essential to human progress. Stated briefly, the capitalists are the brains of civilization because they supply the entire fabric of which all education, enlightenment, and human progress consists. Money, without brains, is always dangerous. Properly used, it is the most important essential of civilization. The simple breakfast here described could not have been delivered to the New York family at a dime each or at any other price if organized capital had not provided the machinery, the ships, the railroads, and the huge armies of trained men to operate them. Some slight idea of the importance of organized capital may be had by trying to imagine yourself burdened with the responsibility of collecting, without the aid of capital, and delivering to the New York City family the simple breakfast described. To supply the tea, you would have had to make a trip to China or India, both a very long way from America. Unless you are an excellent swimmer, you would become rather tired before making the round trip. Then, too, another problem would confront you. What would you use for money, even if you had the physical endurance to swim the ocean? To supply the sugar, you would have had to take another long swim to Cuba or a long walk to the sugar beet section of Utah. But even then, you might come back without the sugar because organized effort and money are necessary to produce sugar, to say nothing of what is required to refine, transport, and deliver it to the breakfast table anywhere in the United States. The eggs you could deliver easily enough from the barnyards near New York City, but you would have had a very long walk to Florida and return before you could serve the two glasses of grapefruit juice. You would have had another long walk to Kansas or one of the other great wheat-growing states when you went after the four slices of wheat bread. The rippled wheat biscuits would have had to be omitted from the menu because they would not be available except through the labor of a trained organization of men and suitable machinery, all of which call for capital. While resting, you could take off for another little swim down to South America, where you would pick up a couple of bananas, and on your return, you could take a short walk to the nearest farm, having a dairy, and pick up some butter and cream. Then your New York City family would be ready to sit down and enjoy breakfast, and you could collect your two dimes for your labor. Seems absurd, doesn't it? Well, the procedure described would be the only possible way these simple items of food could be delivered to the heart of New York City if we had no capitalistic system. The sum of money required for the building and maintenance of the railroads and the steamships used in the delivery of that simple breakfast is so huge that it staggers one's imagination. It runs into hundreds of millions of dollars, not to mention the armies of trained employees required to man the ships and trains. But transportation is only a part of the requirements of modern civilization in a capitalistic America. Before there can be anything to haul, something must be grown from the ground or manufactured and prepared for market. This calls for more millions of dollars for equipment, machinery, boxing, marketing, and for the wages of millions of men and women. Steamships and railroads do not spring up from the earth and function automatically. They come in response to the call of civilization through the labor and ingenuity and organizing ability of men who have the imagination, faith, enthusiasm, decision, persistence. These men and women are known as capitalists. They are motivated by the desire to build, construct, achieve, render useful service, earn profits, and accumulate riches. and because they render service without which there would be no civilization, they put themselves in the way of great riches. Just to keep the record simple and understandable, I will add that these capitalists are the selfsame men and women who most of us have heard soapbox orators speak. They are the same men to whom radicals, racketeers, dishonest politicians, and grafting labor leaders refer to as the predatory interests or Wall Street. I am not attempting to present a brief for or against any group of men or any system of economics. I am not attempting to condemn collective bargaining when I refer to grafting labor leaders, nor do I aim to give a clean bill of health to all individuals known as capitalists. The purpose of this book, a purpose to which I have faithfully devoted over a quarter of a century, is to provide to all who want the knowledge the most dependable philosophy through which individuals may accumulate riches in whatever amounts they desire. I have here analyzed the economic advantages of the capitalistic system for the twofold purpose showing, one, that all who seek riches must recognize and adapt themselves to the system that controls all approaches to fortunes, large or small, and two, to present the side of the picture opposite to that being shown by politicians and demagogues who deliberately becloud the issue they bring up by referring to organized capital as if it were something poisonous. This is a capitalistic country. It was developed through the use of capital. And we who claim the right to partake of the blessings of freedom and opportunity, who seek to accumulate riches here, may as well know that neither riches nor opportunity would be available to us if organized capital had not provided these benefits. For more than 20 years, it has been a somewhat popular and growing pastime for radicals, self-seeking politicians, racketeers, crooked labor leaders, and on occasion religious leaders to take pot shots at Wall Street, the money changers, and big business. The practice became so general that we witnessed during the business depression the unbelievable sight of high government officials lining up with cheap politicians and labor leaders with the openly avowed purpose of throttling the system which has made industrial America the richest country on earth. The lineup was so general and so well organized that it prolonged the worst depression America has ever known. It cost millions of men their jobs because those jobs were inseparably a part of the industrial and capitalistic system which formed the very backbone of the nation. During this unusual alliance of government officials and self-seeking individuals who were endeavoring to profit by declaring open season on the American system of industry, a certain type of labor leader joined forces with the politicians and offered to deliver voters in return for legislation designed to permit men to take riches away from industry by organized force of numbers, instead of the better method of giving a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. Millions of men and women throughout the nation are still engaged in this popular pastime of trying to get without giving. Some of them are lined up with labor unions where they demand shorter hours and more pay. Others do not take the trouble to work at all. They demand government relief and are getting it. Their idea of their rights of freedom was demonstrated in New York City, where violent complaint was registered with the postmaster by a group of relief beneficiaries because the postman awakened them at 7:30 a.m. to deliver government relief checks. They demanded that the time of delivery be set up to 10 o'clock. If you are one of those who believe that riches can be accumulated by the mere act of men who organize themselves into groups and demand more pay for less service, if you are one of those who demand government relief without early morning disturbance when the money is delivered to you, if you are one of those who believe in trading their votes to politicians in return for the passing of laws which permit the raiding of the public treasury, you may rest securely on your belief with certain knowledge that no one will disturb you, because this is a free country where every man may think as he pleases, where nearly everybody can live with but little effort, where many may live well without doing any work whatsoever. However, You should know the full truth concerning this freedom of which so many people boast and so few understand. As great as it is, as far as it reaches, as many privileges as it provides, it does not and cannot bring riches without effort. There is but one dependable method of accumulating and legally holding riches, and that is by rendering useful service. No system has ever been created by which men can legally acquire riches through mere force of numbers or without giving in return an equivalent value of one form or another. There is a principle known as the law of economics. This is more than a theory. It is a law no man can beat. Mark well the name of the principle and remember it, because it is far more powerful than all the politicians and political machines. It is above and beyond the control of all the labor unions. It cannot be swayed nor influenced nor bribed by racketeers or self-appointed leaders in any calling. Moreover, it has an all-seeing eye and a perfect system of bookkeeping, in which it keeps an accurate account of the transactions of every human being engaged in the business of trying to get without giving. Sooner or later, its auditors come around, look over the records of individuals, both great and small, and demand an accounting. Wall Street, big business, capital predatory interests, or whatever name you choose to give the system which has given us American freedom, represents a group of men who understand, respect, and adapt themselves to this powerful law of economics. Their financial continuation depends upon their respecting the law. Most people living in America like this country, its capitalistic system, and all. I must confess, I know of no better country where one may find greater opportunities to accumulate riches. Judging by their acts and deeds, there are some in this country who do not like it. That, of course, is their privilege. If they do not like this country, its capitalistic system, and boundless opportunities, they have the privilege of clearing out. Always there are other countries such as Germany, Russia, and Italy, where one may try one's hands at enjoying freedom and accumulating riches, providing one is not too particular. America provides all the freedom and all the opportunity to accumulate riches that any honest person may require. When one goes hunting for game, one selects hunting grounds where game is plentiful. When seeking riches, the same rule would naturally apply. If it is riches you are seeking, do not overlook the possibilities of a country whose citizens are so rich that women alone spend over $200 million annually for lipstick, rouge, and cosmetics. Think twice, you who are seeking riches, before trying to destroy the capitalistic system of a country whose citizens spend over $50 million a year for greeting cards with which to express their appreciation of their freedom. If it is money you are seeking, consider carefully a country that spends hundreds of millions of dollars annually for cigarettes, the bulk of the income from which goes to only four major companies engaged in supplying this national builder of nonchalance and quiet nerves. By all means, give plenty of consideration to a country. This is not an advertisement for smoking, by the way. Just wanted to make that point. By all means, give plenty of consideration to a country whose people spend annually more than $15 million for the privilege of seeing movie pictures and toss in a few additional millions for liquor, narcotics, and other less potent soft drinks and giggle waters. Do not be in too big a hurry to get away from a country whose people willingly, even eagerly, hand over millions of dollars annually for football, baseball, and prize fights, and by all means stick by a country whose inhabitants give up more than $1 million a year for chewing gum and another million for safety razor blades. Remember also that this is but the beginning of the available sources for the accumulation of wealth. Only a few of the luxuries and non-essentials have been mentioned. But remember that the business of producing, transporting, and marketing these few items of merchandise gives regular employment to many millions of men and women who receive for their services many millions of dollars monthly and spend it freely for both luxuries and the necessities. Especially remember that back of all this exchange of merchandise and personal services may be found an abundance of opportunity to accumulate riches. Here, our American freedom comes to one's aid. There is nothing to stop you or anyone from engaging in any portion of the effort necessary to carry on these businesses. If one has superior talent, training, experience, one may accumulate riches in large amounts. Those not so fortunate may accumulate smaller amounts. Anyone may earn a living in return for a very nominal amount of labor. So there you are. Opportunity has spread its wares before you. Step up to the front. Select which you want, create your plan, put the plan into action, and follow through with persistence. Capitalistic America will do the rest. You can depend upon this much. Capitalistic America ensures every person the opportunity to render useful service and to collect riches in proportion to the value of the service. The system denies no one this right, but it does not and cannot promise something for nothing, because the system itself is irrevocably controlled by the law of economics, which neither recognizes nor tolerates for long getting without giving. The law of economics was passed by nature. There is no Supreme Court to which violators of this law may appeal. The law hands out both penalties for its violation and appropriate rewards for its observance without interference or the possibility of interference by any human being. The law cannot be repealed. It is as fixed as the stars in the heavens and subject to and part of the same system that controls the stars. May one refuse to adapt oneself to the law of economics? Certainly. This is a free country where all men are born with equal rights, including the privilege of ignoring the law of economics. What happens then? Well, nothing happens until large numbers of men join forces for the avowed purpose of ignoring the law and taking what they want by force. Then comes the dictator with the well-organized firing squads and machine guns. We have not yet reached that stage in America, but we have heard all we want to know about how the system works. Perhaps we have been fortunate enough not to demand personal knowledge of so gruesome a reality. Doubtless we shall prefer to continue with our freedom of speech, freedom of deed, freedom to render useful service in return for riches. The practice by government officials of extending to men and women the privilege of raiding the public treasury in return for votes sometimes results in election, but as night follows day, the final payoff comes, when every penny wrongfully used must be repaid with compound interest on compound interest. If those who make the grab are not forced to repay, the burden falls on their children and their children's children, even unto the third and fourth generations. There is no way to avoid the debt. Men can, and sometimes do, form themselves into groups for the purpose of crowding wages up and working hours down. There is a point beyond which they cannot go. It is the point at which the law of economics steps in and the sheriff gets both the employer and the employees. For 6 years, from 1929 to 1935, the people of America, both rich and poor, barely missed seeing the old man economics hand over to the sheriff all the businesses and industries and banks. It was not a pretty sight. It did not increase our respect for mob psychology, through which men cast reason to the winds and start trying to get without giving. We who went through those 6 discouraging years when fear was in the saddle and faith was on the ground cannot forget how ruthlessly the law of economics exacted its toll from both rich and poor, weak and strong, old and young. We shall not wish to go through another such experience. These observations are not founded upon short-time experience. They are the result of 25 years of careful analysis of the methods of both the most successful and the most unsuccessful men America has known. Powerful principles we've covered today, my friends, and important blessings that I'm appreciative to Napoleon for recalling to my mind this morning, and hopefully you're appreciative as well. Let's open up the lines. Excited to hear your thoughts on today's message. Star 6 to unmute your line. Come on out. Would love to hear from you.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
My phone's gone muted. this is Melody, and I find this very interesting because we were challenged by our pastor to check into how Jesus felt at this time as we're going into Easter. And in the same chapter here in Luke 19, they were given 100 days wages to buy and to sell. And the one that didn't do any buying or selling was seen as wicked and evil. And I find this interesting because now I see why. This is how our whole system in this chapter is working, is by buying and selling. And we take so many things for granted. So it's actually seen more wicked not to be into the buying and the selling. And thank you, and back to you, Paul.
Melody, I appreciate that. Are you referring to the parable of the talents there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
and
great.
Yep.
Awesome. Appreciate that, Melody. Thank you for those comments. Always great to hear your voice.
Hey, Paul.
Even though
yes.
A little.
Don Miller, Sacramento.
Don,
excellent,
you say?
Excellent this morning.
Hi, Don. Good morning. You still there?
Yeah, John.
Oh, John. I'm sorry, John. Okay. Good morning. Welcome
excellent
to the call.
Good morning. Definitely what some we need to hear and pay attention to. It's, that's what 124 is all about, the opportunity.
Appreciate that. Yes, absolutely. For the opportunity to get out there and take advantage and take advantage of this freedom that we have and make things happen. Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I mean, yeah.
Hey, Paul. It's Dana in Arizona.
Hey, good morning, Dana. So great to hear you on the line this morning.
Yeah, I haven't been on here for a few days, but I'm back, so. But I want to make a couple of comments. What you just read is almost prophetic about the time that we are in right now as a country. And so what was happening in the 30s when Napoleon Hill was writing that is almost being repeated now. In fact, even more so now, the liberties and the things that have made America great are under attack. And I thought one of the things that he said in there was very profound. He gave you a great definition of government, and that definition was money without brain. And that's what we see going on, is men in government, the same lines have been drawn, and the same philosophies are rearing their ugly heads again, and the same anxieties are being affected once more, and it's getting to be very, very difficult to keep the liberties in place because of government intervention. And so I think what Napoleon Hill wrote in that passage right there is almost prophetic, and it should be taken as a warning to us as to what we've got to watch out for and protect ourselves from. Otherwise, those liberties are going to disappear. Back to you.
Appreciate those thoughts, Dana, and very true, very true, very prophetic. These words are that Napoleon wrote, almost 100 years ago.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
Yeah, this is the kind of conversation and information that always has to be taken with a grain of salt, because there's the ability to think has to always be at work, because there's no, there's always manipulation going on, either by the government or by the people in power. And so none of this can be just all totally bought into. There has to be some thought given to it, because there's a lot of little manipulations and games and nonsense that are constantly going on. Whether you call, you know, just it's even terms of people calling themselves a Democrat or Republican and just blindly following or going along with the party. We can call America as great as we want to, but it's great to the degree that it is because of the courage of certain people, and it will remain that based on that same courage. You have to constantly watch police and do things necessary to keep what you have. I mean, it's that saying about freedom is not free. And So all of this deserves a certain amount of thought and thinking. Back to you, Paul.
I appreciate those thoughts, Melvin, and I was actually thinking of you and wondering if you were going to come out and comment, because last time we went through this particular piece of the book, Think and Grow Rich, I remember the term that you threw out there, which has remained with me, and that term is balance, and I appreciate that word, and I appreciate the thoughts you shared about the fact that you can't just swallow everything someone says, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. It deserves thought. It deserves being critical of and thinking about. And I wanted to point out one line in this piece that we went through that I think is very important. Napoleon says, I am not attempting to condemn collective bargaining when I refer to grafting labor leaders, nor do I aim to give a clean bill of health to all individuals known as capitalists. And I do not hope, I hope that nobody, you know, reads this or gets on the line and just says, you know, everything about capitalism is marvelous and wonderful and there's no faults and there's no evil people and there are no corporations or such and such that align themselves with the government for the purpose of raiding the treasury and put more money into their corporate bottom line. All of that stuff happens, folks, and we would be naive to assume that it didn't. But that being said, the message of the day, I believe, is the importance of understanding and respecting this gift that each of us have who live in this time in America of freedom. And that's really the point, freedom. Freedom is it's one of the greatest of human gifts that we can have or enjoy. And we need to be grateful for it, and we need to understand what has brought us some of the greatest things that a country has ever been privileged to enjoy on the face of the planet, and it is that word. It's that freedom. And if we're not careful and if we're not courageous, as Melvin has stated, we stand to lose that gift. So, Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. This is Rick from California.
Hey, Rick, go ahead, sir.
Very exciting, there's a lot of things covered in this chapter, really, but you know what's interesting and exciting and the simplicity of this whole this whole book, Think and Grow Rich, and go back to the title, go back to the title of this book, and once you grasp it and stick to the simplicity of it. If you think in negative terms, you will get negative results. If you think in positive terms, you will get positive results. That was basically the talk of a Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, right? And so there are so many things out there. You're going to get what you think about. I mean, you know, your feelings, what you're thinking about, your feelings help speed up what you're getting, right? And so you're going to get more of whatever it is you're thinking of. And so when you really think about this, okay, it takes no more effort to think of something positive than to do something negative, right? And so when you really, really think about this, I mean, it's very simple. And that is could be sometimes a trouble when things come too simple, we tend to overlook it.
Get back to it and be quiet.
Sorry about that, Rick. Somebody has their line unmuted and is telling us to be quiet. I don't think they're talking to you. Rick, were you finished? Or you still have more to say?
Yeah. So I was saying, you know, to get back to the, you know, to the thinking, your thoughts, and really, you get to your thinking in the sense of what direction you want to go. Always know what your outcome, that you want, and what you're thinking of. What you're thinking of, is that getting you to the outcome? You know, it's really that simple, really. And the title of this book, I remember when I was reading this book, the page, the cover just kept coming out at me, you know? And he was saying, Well, you know, you're rubbing elbows with with the secret here, you know. And was it the burning desire? You know, you keep going back. Man, said the book says, the title says, Think and Grow Rich. And it comes right back to that thought. And everything first gets created in your thoughts. Everything. I mean, everything around us, everything that we see physical that wasn't here on Earth naturally are created from our thoughts. Imagine that. Think and Grow Rich. Hey, right back to you, Paul. Thank you.
So true, Rick. Appreciate those. Marlise, are you there? Marlise, I thought I heard you coming out there with Rick. If I'm mistaken, that's okay. I heard a female voice coming out there with Rick.
Paul, this is Joy. I was trying to get in.
Oh, hey, Joy. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for reading that cardiovascular read you just did there.
Thank you.
Kind of a breath. But also, what I was hearing was we have so many resources. There is so much technology that is available to us today that if you're not using it in your success or in your endeavors, it is not because it's not there. It's because you're choosing not to use it. And I just wanted to put that in. Thanks.
Appreciate that insight, Joy. So true. Doc Fran actually got set up with A. Weber yesterday, so he's utilizing technology a little bit more. Star 6, anyone else want to jump out here?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Doc Fran.
Yes, thank you. And thanks to the patience, persistence, and gracious time of Paul Hutchings for that result. So all of you that are on the email list will be receiving the product of that action shortly. I'm working on it as we speak. But I love the topic this morning, and you know, we train all the time about staying in an attitude of gratitude, being grateful for things in your life, and because all of us are consistently, constantly, relentlessly barraged with what's wrong with everything in our life. And in everyone else's life, it is very easy to slide into that negative mindset. And so this beautiful chapter points out, again, an absolute laundry list of things that most of us take for granted every day, for which we should be absolutely grateful. The very fact that we can walk to a spigot, turn it on, and get potable, good drinking water virtually everywhere in this country is an unbelievable blessing not enjoyed by a great percentage of the people on this planet. So you don't have to look very far. The byproduct of that is one of the reasons why people may not stay the course in our businesses. Because we are so privileged in this country, we have developed an attitude of instant gratification. And we can fulfill our needs virtually instantly on many, many, many fronts. And so as a result of that, the ability to maintain consistency and persistency and integrity on a course of action becomes a challenge for individuals when they don't perceive themselves as receiving the benefits as fast or as instantly as they may believe they need or want them. So the value of always remaining in gratitude for all of the blessings that we have, including whatever the condition of your personal business is right now, is really the key to the long-term success and achievement of all of your goals. Back to you, Paul.
Very well said, as always, sir. So appreciate you, Doc Fran. Thank you. Star 6, who's next? Excited to hear from more people.
Mr. Paul Hutchings, Todd Young.
Hey, buddy. Great to hear your voice today.
Thank you so much. And certainly great hearing from everybody. And what everybody says is very profound, and grateful to be on the call to hear my like-minded capitalistic friends that live in this capitalistic society that we call America. And, you know, what Napoleon Hill, I believe, he's speaking about when it comes to freedoms is, number one, you know, hey, there's good and evil everywhere in the universe, not just here on our planet, but elsewhere, but especially in our planet, and especially with people. And America is a 240-year-old-plus-year-old experiment, but it's the best experiment going out there. And I know that it's our responsibility, living in this country, to teach and go forward the positive repercussions of capitalism. Certainly there's lots of evil in capitalism. There's evil everywhere. Although there are certain, like, you know, there's certain folks that have a mindset in this country whose mindset is actually from another country, who try to bash our freedoms that we have here. And all I remember ever since I was born and raised is there are people escaping other countries, sacrificing their life to come to this one. And I don't see anybody escaping this country to try to go somewhere else. Last time I checked. It's because of the freedoms that we have and the freedoms that we as the people have written into our Constitution. Government didn't write those. People did. And we have freedoms in this country. Freedom to eat any food that we want, drink water very easily, which Doc Fran just mentioned. And we could certainly have a one-week training on what Doc Fran just mentioned. But our freedoms are simple. They're freedoms that were made by people that live in this country, that came to this country, who were repressed by other governments, who were nothing more than people who turned greedy. And in our country, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to take what we're taught here by Think and Grow Rich, this book, which if you look at and read other books in our society and listen to other leaders of other countries, it's very, very evident that they read this book. That was their starting point. And when you work with people on a daily basis, this is part of mindset. This is part of a growing awareness. And when you take a new prospect and you teach them and stand your feet in the ground, and your prospect knows that you're not going anywhere, you believe in something, they will join you, they will learn from you, and it's your responsibility to teach the right thing, which is freedom in this country. We have the freedom to work. We have the freedom to do what we want to do with who we want, when we want. And that's attractive to people because people haven't had that at their job. That's somebody telling them what to do, how long they have to stay, how much they're making. And when you reach out to network marketing in this industry, it's just the opposite, and it's very attractive to people. So the freedom that we have, which is a home-based business with very little cash outlay, that's a new concept that's only been going on for 50 to 60 years. So take advantage of these freedoms. These calls are fantastic. I love being on them. I mandate that everybody that's on my team to be on these calls because, Paul, everybody that's gotten on these calls that are on my team are listening to all of you, and they're learning, and they're understanding the freedoms that we have. So, Paul, thank you so much. Back to you.
Todd, thank you, my friend, and thank you for being a shining example to me of someone who is taking that responsibility very seriously. And also thank you for pointing that out, because there's one thing that that I've learned that I believe is very important. When we as people learn a principle, when we learn a truth, when we learn about freedom or some of these other ideas that we're learning about, Todd mentioned this word responsibility, and I take that very seriously, because I do believe when we have that gift of truth, of principle, that has the ability, the capacity to raise up another, I believe we literally do have the responsibility to stand for it and speak it and share it, even if, folks, it may appear to be very, very unpopular to do so. And a lot of times in this industry, we face that. It's unpopular to be associated with a pyramid or an MLM or what have you. And there are many other principles that are important, which right now, at this particular time, are very unpopular. And we may even look at the fact that it's unpopular, and we may draw the conclusion that we're on the losing side of the battle. But you know what, folks? Even if it appears unpopular, even if it appears that we're on the losing side of the battle, we have that responsibility, as Todd so eloquently pointed out. And I am grateful for that. And Todd, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. Just really, really appreciate you and your contribution to this call and to your amazing contribution to the cause that we are all fighting for. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. John Miller in Sacramento.
Yes, go ahead, John.
I want to thank you. I really enjoy these calls and get a lot of wise insights from it.
Appreciate that, John. Thank you. Thank you for being on the call.
Paul, good morning. This is Marlies. I've been on, but you know what we do? I connect the loudspeaker from the computer to the phone so my husband can listen too. And I wasn't able to make the change that quickly when he called out. I just wanted to also just embellish upon it a little bit from my point of view, what I've been experiencing, what Dr. Rand had also so, and everybody else eloquently has repeated all the really most important points, whether it's freedom, the opportunity, having that entrepreneurial spirit, you know, that I feel really has been an American, basically known as the American spirit, that all the innovations just seem to come from here, because the people in this country already from the time they are born, they're being told, you know, you can be the president or you can be just about anything that you want to be, you know, when you grow up. So even being instilled with this kind of belief already, I know that's how we, you know, in other countries always looked at it. And that's why also in Germany, when everything just kind of swept over, you know, from this country over to Europe, it automatically was just accepted as being the better or the greater or the most efficient, etc. And a lot of those ideas, you know, we found out, you know, were really true, but also many others were not. So it's always interesting. But what I was going to say about that too, the attitude of gratitude. All of this and learning these truth principles, I learned all of that over here. And also when I was introduced to the home-based business, the network marketing business over 30 years ago, I just considered it to be the most brilliant way for us to really share and learn and grow and help people everywhere, including ourselves. And I thought, gosh, if my parents who had a retail business and struggled and worked so hard, especially in post-war Germany as refugees having lost everything, thought, wow, if they would have had an opportunity like this, it is just so amazing, you know, how we can use our own initiative and have the support and become, you know, and build just about anything that we can basically envision. I just consider it to be the most, most wonderful opportunity. And of course, I feel like that more and more, and especially now with the kind of company and tool that we have now, There's just nothing that I can think of, not one little bit that you can even consider to be a negative, because it's all positive that we have to offer right now. So my you know, I just feel incredibly grateful every morning that I get up. And I think I mentioned before, we have so many beautiful songs in German, and that's what I start out with in the shower. It says that every day is a gift. That's basically the translation of that. And there are plenty of other ways that we can also, you know, recognize for ourselves what we are grateful for. I even remember when I came over, we didn't have, you know, showers yet. You know, we needed to... we didn't have running hot and cold water. Practically everything was destroyed and it was rubble in Germany. So it just all came about in the mid to late 60s and 70s. And then it just became better and better and better. And amazingly, also quite wealthy, you know, for even the average person. But when I came over here, I remember how wonderful it was just standing in the shower. And I'm thinking back to those days. I said, gosh, I've been taking all of that for granted, like all of us. And in Germany, too, they're still considered to be the most pessimistic people, the warriors, you know. They can do so well and be so well off. And when I start talking to the people over there and get to meet them, they complain about, you know, the bike paths not being as smooth and they needed to be redone, little things like that. I said, gosh, be grateful you do have all these bike paths. You don't know how good you have it. I said, I'm here to remind you how lucky and grateful you really can be. So this is basically my message anywhere I go, whether it's here or over there. I said, just be grateful for all the wonderful things that we can enjoy in this day and age. And the more that we concentrate on that, the more we do create it. And stay away from all of that negativity and be very, very watchful of our freedom. As it was pointed out, we definitely need to also be on guard and fight for that and stand for that. So thank you again. I know I was rambling on. I didn't really know what I was going to say, but thank you anyway. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Marlise, if that was a ramble, it was one of the most beautiful ramblings I've ever heard. I really appreciate your thoughts and your experience and your insight, and your message of gratitude has been stated several times by other people on the call, but you really illustrated further how important it is to be grateful for all of that which we do have. So thank you, Marlise. Star 6, anyone else want to jump out here?
Yeah, this is Rick. I'd like to pick it back off what Marlise had to say about gratitude. And there's a gentleman that we should all know on this phone call if you're in the network marketing business, and his name is Rich DeVos. Rich DeVos was president of Amway Corporation. In fact, because of Amway, Rich DeVos and his buddy Jay Van Andel, we are able to run freely in the network marketing industry. They were scrutinized by the government for 5 years. Rich DeVos has a talk in the Library of Congress about freedom and the free enterprise. And everyone on this call should know about this talk. And when you talk about gratitude, if you don't know who Rich DeVos is, you're missing the key component of this network marketing business and the free society and be able to move around freely in this business. And if you're in this business, there's a saying that if you don't have anything good to say, you better not say it. Because dissension in any area is destruction. And so when companies go out and give you an opportunity, create an infrastructure, just like the United States has done. And on a smaller case, on a smaller level, small companies, the foundation of this country, really, or any company out there that give you a chance to go out and build off their infrastructure, you got to give thanks. And if you don't have anything good to say about a corporation, or you don't know because you perhaps you're ignorant about it, and you keep your mouth shut when it comes to that. But gratitude is something that is not natural. ingratitude is a natural thing. Gratitude you have to develop. And you got to show your appreciation. Again, I remind you, Rich DeVos and Jay Van Andel are responsible for us being able to do business in the network marketing industry. A name you should know as well as Abraham Lincoln or Ben Franklin. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Great points, Mr. Rick Martin. As always, you reminded me, one of my team members actually has a background in Amway, and one of the top reps in Amway, I can't believe I can't remember his name, but he said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we've all heard that before, but then the addition that you have on, once they know you care, you better know something. You better know something. I thought that was great. Well, folks, we've got an hour. It's been a wonderful, enlightening, uplifting call. I want to appreciate, just thank all of you. Thank you so much for getting on this call every morning and reminding me that I stand not alone, that there are myriads of people out there who believe in principles and truths and are willing to stand and fight for them. As each of you are on the call, it's encouraging to me. It reinvigorates me. It gives me hope. It gives me faith, and I thank you for that. And just want to give you a challenge. Let's go out there today and take advantage of this freedom that each of us does have. And might I suggest that we utilize that freedom to have a plan, to take action on that plan, to be persistent, know that we will have temporary setback, but if we plow through that, we have amazing things on the other end of that battle. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks, everyone. Make it a wonderful, fantastic day.